We got the whole scoop in here.
All right. The scoop.
This is it.
The scoop.
All right. Double the scoop. SEC Media Days. Eddie Radosovich, George Stoya. Thanks for stopping by, guys.
Gentlemen, what's happening?
Thanks for having us. This is, I was just joking. This is better than when we were sitting by the pool and it was raining.
How's it feel, boys? How's it feel? Second year SEC. I mean, you're kind of, you're in it now. First year, it's always weird, I would imagine. But second year, now you're just part of the crew.
Yeah, I don't know because Oklahoma was so bad a year ago. It's like
there's might kick them out.
Kind of in that new initiation stage.
Yeah, I think last year was a good awakening for the fan base and also I think the program. And we'll get into it, I'm sure. But they've made so many changes over the last year now inside the program, even the athletic department, there's been changes. So I think everybody's still getting used to it. I know we are, but we definitely feel like we're part of the group now, I would say, this year.
A little bit, yeah. I mean,
it's still different.
Same old, but I do think, like, when you go to some of these new places that Oklahoma went this past year, it was really cool. Somewhere like Auburn that was kind of down for what they are usually, it was just a really cool experience to go to some of the new places off of the beaten track that Oklahoma hadn't been to.
And we'll get to Oklahoma, but did you guys see Arch Manning the other day?
I've only heard of the legend so far.
Yeah, we did not partake in the Arch Mania.
That's something, and I think he's going to be a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong, but I think that the hype built around him, and to the same extent, like with John Mateer and the hype that's around him, I think it's been surprising a little bit just for me and George to kind of look from, I guess, the inside out and see how respected he has been and, you know, what everybody has thought about him through his first couple years.
Was it Chris Doering that predicted him to win the Heisman this week?
Yeah, that's so a little much.
Like, we're, you know, look, we, I think Eddie and I both think John's going to be a really good player, but it's the question of good or great, you know, and everybody wants to make these comparisons for him to, you know, whether it's Baker Mayfield or whoever. It's like, man, let's see him play a football game, one in Crimson and Cream, and also in this league. Like, I don't want to say he's not going to be a good player, but I think some of the hype right now around Mateer is it's reached a whole new level. Like, it was big when he first entered the portal, but now it's like, oh, okay, people are talking about Heisman Trophy.
OU. I heard SEC today. We had SEC champions.
Yeah,
Oklahoma.
Yeah, you guys know Matt Hayes, USA Today. He's voting Oklahoma to win the SEC. What's your thoughts on that?
I
go ahead.
I think he's crazy.
I do think that there are probably some things that are in place just from a defensive perspective, from a special teams perspective. Brent has talked about it time and time again. They were one of, I think, three teams nationally that had top 15 efficiency, special teams, and defense. It's going to be a matter of what this offense can look like and what they can be. And I think that while John's a great quarterback that brings a lot of experience to the table, they need help other places. And, you know, I think that Jaden Nod is a perfect example of somebody that was fantastic at Cal. Obviously, if he wasn't injured a year ago, he probably wouldn't be in Norman because he would have got drafted. But at the same time, if they can be better offensively, maybe they can make some things interesting. I think it starts, though, going 5-0 and showing up in Dallas.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. We talked about September teams. I don't think there's a more important September than in Norman, Oklahoma right now.
100%. I mean, you look at the schedule. I mean, we're going to know if this team's any good week two when they welcome Michigan to town. But then you turn around, you play Auburn too. I think, what is it, 2 weeks later they play Auburn at home. And Auburn's one of those teams kind of like Oklahoma. I don't really know what to expect. Like, if you told me at the end of the year that they won 9 games, I'd probably believe you. If you told me they won 5 games, I'd probably believe you. That's, I think, where we're kind of at with Oklahoma in some regard. So, I do think OU is going to be better than they were a year ago. But if they want to do some of the things that people are talking about, they have got to be 5-0 heading into the Cotton Bowl. And they have to give Texas a fight. And, you know, it was funny today. I don't know who that was that got up there, but they read off the
– it was kind of like, damn, it's been that bad?
Yeah, like, basically
– They won one of them.
They got their ad. They've gotten their ass kicked by Texas the last, you know, two of the last 3 years. And if it weren't for a miraculous drive by Dylan Gabriel in 2023 – then he's, you know, Brent Venables 0-3 in that game. So they have got to, and I'm not saying they have to go win. Obviously, you want to go win that game, and they're going to do their best that they can, but they can't go in there and just get their ass kicked like they have, you know, the last, you know, couple years or whatever.
And not to say that there's been a whole lot of excuses, because Brent certainly hasn't made any, but I think there has been a bunch of, yeah, but, Yeah, but what if they weren't injured at the wide receiver position a year ago? Yeah, but what if they were better on the offensive line and Troy Everett was able to start the season? I think they played better when he was able to get back into the lineup. It's kind of a, you know, I said this last night on one of our breakdowns on YouTube, just in terms of, I think it's like team 132 or something like that. Brent kind of started that, calling a team by the number each year. This is a team show me for Oklahoma this year. And I think that there's some pieces in place that make you feel optimistic, certainly more optimistic than I could have ever imagined coming off of the second 6-7 season in 3 years. But I think because of the experience that John Mateer brings, because of the hype that surrounds somebody like a Ben Arbuckle, I think there's a belief that they can be a little bit better offensively. And if they can do that, maybe they can make a run at this thing. And, you know, obviously if they had any form of offense a year ago, they would have been probably two games better. I think you win the Missouri game. I think you maybe find out what that South Carolina game looks like, but that's kind of a yeah, but, and that wasn't the reality of the situation. So it's a, we talked to John a little bit ago, Mateer, and just the magnitude around this season is, it might be one of the bigger seasons in 20, 25 years of Oklahoma football.
I think it is the biggest year in since Bob Stoops' first season at Oklahoma, because the trajectory of this program can completely change. I mean, the future of Brent Venables can completely change this year. And you look at everything that they've done over the past year, hiring Jim Nagy, Randall Stevenson from AT&T steps in and is helping with budgets and athletic department. They just announced they've received more money than they've ever received at the university. Like, all of these things, they bring in Ben Arbuckle, John Mateer, like, they have to go in this year or people are going to lose their jobs. And then you're looking at a whole new coaching search and a whole new trajectory of the program. And I don't know, it's a fascinating and interesting time for OU football, I would say.
Do you think there's like a number? I know that's easy to say, like a 7-5, yeah. Does he go, but maybe it's the games that he lost or anything.
I think you're hitting it, because I think context matters. I think that's important. But it's one of those questions that we've asked ourselves all offseason, and with the recent retirement of Joe Castiglione, the athletic director, it makes you wonder, does that number change all of a sudden? Because you could look up in December and Joe C. could be gone, right? He's retiring. Jim Nagy didn't hire Brent Venables, Randall Stevenson. You know, OU president Joe Harris was a big part of that decision, but all of that could change. And so it's like, does that number all of a sudden go from, like you said, 7-5 might be a, obviously not a good year for Oklahoma, but with this schedule, it's not too bad, right? But now all of a sudden, does he need to win 8 or 9 games? I think 9, you're definitely safe, right? I think 9, you're probably in the playoff.
I think 9, you're good. Yeah.
9, you're probably talking about getting into the playoff. And I think
I think even 8-4, you're probably safe. But 7-5 is where it gets really interesting.
It's hairy.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of a critical game, I got circled the Auburn game. And I was surprised, Brent, today, so high on Jackson Arnold and his future in this game. I mean, we could be sitting here and say, God, they let Dylan Gabriel go. They let Jackson Arnold. Now, I don't think that'll be the narrative because they have John Mateer. If they didn't have John Mateer, certainly that would be the narrative. But are you guys surprised at all that Jackson Arnold is, for the second year in a row, he's a representative at SEC Media Days, obviously a different team. But thoughts on him being here and thoughts on what he could do at Auburn?
The Jackson Arnold experience a year ago it's the most surprising thing that I've seen, because I went down to a bunch of his games just being down the street basically in Denton when he was a senior, and that was a powerhouse. I mean, Geyer's obviously a great program and one of the bigger classifications in Texas. He was the guy, and I think for him to come in and just be that deer in the headlights to a certain extent looked like he had lost all the confidence in the world, and I think that goes into the decision making to, you know, elevate Seth Luttrell when Jeff Lebby left and not really having a quarterback's coach to build that confidence. I think that we all kind of overlooked that a year ago when we were sitting here and talking about what this team could be under Jackson Arnold, and it obviously was awful. And I think that, you know, he still has extremely great arm talent. He has an extremely great personality, I think, inside the locker room that maybe doesn't come across from what you see when he's talking on the podium. But at the same time, he's going to have to go out and show it. And I think it's going to be fascinating, because I know that we would sit at the scoop offices and kind of read some of the stuff that was coming out from spring ball down at Auburn. And it was the exact same stuff that we were talking about a year ago and thinking, you'll just be able to get through that. And then obviously he turns the ball over like he did against Tennessee, and you had to pull him and kind of change the course of history.
And it, you know, Brent talked about it today, but it wasn't all his fault. Obviously, sure, they had a lot of injuries. offensive coordinator situation was abysmal. I mean, they had to fire Seth Luttrell halfway through the season. So there's a lot of external factors. I think the biggest thing is, can it click mentally for him? Because athletically, he's got it all. I mean, he can make every throw. He can run. I mean, we saw it last year against Alabama. He was fantastic with his legs. Like, I think he has all the ability in the world, but can it click? And I think one of the things that you look back on and you're like, man, how did we not see this? Well, they didn't even have a quarterbacks coach last year, technically. OU didn't. And, you know, can Hugh Freeze get that out of him? Can, you know, whoever, I don't know who, if they have a quarterbacks coach at Auburn, but whoever that is, can they connect with him, help him understand the game a little better? Because it was a lot of times him just not understanding or seeing the field. Yeah. Like, that was a big part of the problem. Or just holding on to the ball, the end of the Missouri game, obviously, is a great example of that. So, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from him this year. Again, I said earlier, OU's maybe the most fascinating team in college football. I think Auburn might be number two. Like, I think that it's a very interesting situation.
It was one of those things. It was kind of like a Griswold Christmas. It was just like one shitstorm after the other. Like, everything that could have gone bad for Oklahoma went bad at some point, even though it wasn't like consecutively every time.
Did you happen to see yesterday he was asked if he had a, you know, what was his welcome to the SEC moment? Did you guys see that?
No. South Carolina.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe Tennessee, maybe Missouri, but yeah. One monster here, one monster there. And then I thought into the game, and I was like, yeah, it was over in 5 minutes. That makes sense.
Well, and I think they give up like 9 sacks in that game or something. Like, they just
– there was multiple games that they gave up. I mean, what was the number, 50 last year for the
offensive
line? Ole Miss,
I think they gave up 10 or 11 is like a school record for, yeah, Ole Miss. Teams were breaking records against Oklahoma all season long last year.
What was your – I mean, talk about welcome to the SEC. You guys saw some cathedrals last year, Jordan Hare, Death Valley. Which one was, I guess, I don't want to say favorite, but which one kind of was an awe moment? And is there one this year that you're looking to go into?
I would say last year, the big moment for me was Auburn, just because they were kind of a downtrodden program at the time. And to see the fan base, the support, the passion, that lined up with everything that you could think of. On the flip side of that, we've always heard about Baton Rouge at night. You could feel the, like, it was like halfway of what I think it probably is normally, being at the end of the season. The season was basically over for Oklahoma and LSU. So I would love to go back to
like a big game
to LSU game, for a massive game with implications on a playoff or something like that. This year, I went to Tennessee in 2015. That was awesome from an Oklahoma perspective. I'm excited to go to Alabama just because. I've never been to Tuscaloosa, so I think that'd probably be it for me.
Temple,
yeah. Temple. I'm ready to go to Philly to have a couple cheesesteaks.
I will say too, the one that I enjoyed last year was the Grove. I mean, and yeah, Ole Miss's like game atmosphere isn't great. Like the stadium itself isn't impressive at all.
I can see why kids go to Oxford for college,
though. Yeah, because like 100%. It did feel like, somebody said it the other day, but it felt like, and maybe it was you, Eddie, that said, it felt like the whole game, everybody was just waiting to go back outside the stadium to go to the Grove. And I'd never seen anything like that. That was a really cool.
That was awesome.
And I'm excited to go to South Carolina.
Yeah.
You know, I think that could be a game. I think it's the week after OU Texas. I mean, if OU wins that game in the Cotton Bowl or something and they come in as a top 10 team and South Carolina, I think it's going to be really good. That could be a really fun atmosphere.
I didn't know that stadium's on a state fairgrounds. Yeah. In Columbia, so that's going to be 2 state fairs consecutively for Oklahoma fans if they make the trip going to Cotton Bowl.
It's a pretty cool environment. I liked it. We went down there last year, and we don't have a lot of flat campuses.
Yeah.
And Columbia,
yeah,
South Carolina happens to be one of those. So, fat guy dream, plenty of tailgate, plenty of beer.
Oklahoma's the same way. It's just going to be 1,000 degrees probably if you come in September.
All right, so, John Mateer, he's the storyline. Jaden Nutt, you already referenced him. Receivers, Deion Burks, I think he could be one of the best in the conference. Receivers probably can't be any worse than they were last year due to injuries. But I think it all hinges on the offensive line. Where's the offensive line at this year?
I think it's certainly in a better spot than it was last year. And, again, the bar was extremely low. But I think that they return a lot of guys that got some good, valuable playing time last year that were, you know, just freshmen or sophomores. They're all back. You bring back Troy Everett, which the offensive line wasn't good at any point last year. But if you want to say one positive about them, they did get a little bit better when Troy Everett returned at center. And he's clearly the leader of that group. So you got him back. And then you bring in some talented freshmen. I mean, Michael Fasusi, the 5-star, number 1 rated offensive tackle. there's a very good chance that you look up halfway through the season, he's starting for Oklahoma. He's that good. Ryan Foje as well, another talented true freshman that I think could see the field. And they brought in, you know, a couple portal guys. Derek Simmons, the right tackle from Western Carolina, I think he could start at right tackle. So they've kind of overhauled it, but they also got a lot of guys back that they're hoping to take another step. And that experience of last year of kind of being thrown into the fire help them. So, are they going to be like a top five unit in the SEC? I wouldn't count on it. But if they can just be middle of the pack or higher, I think that you feel pretty good about that.
I think Eddie Pierre-Louis is going to play quite a bit as well. He was a guy that Brent mentioned today.
He's a freshman last year.
They're really starting to see kind of the fruits of the labor from the recruiting trail over the last 2 years, as opposed to what the position that they were in this past season, because of what they weren't able to do in 21 and 22 and the recruiting trail. So it's gone better for Bill, and I think that it kind of woke him up a little bit, knowing how bad they were a year ago. I know it probably still bugs him to this day.
Is that the linchpin, the offensive line, or is
I mean, is I, would it say, I would say I so. Mean, I think, look, Mateer's going to do his thing. Arbuckle's, you know, new offensive coordinator. I think he's going to have plays that get guys open, which is something they just did not have last year. I mean, there was not many plays where it's like, oh, that guy's just running wide open, you know? I think that's going to happen. Jaden Ott's going to have some big plays, but none of it's going to work if the offensive line doesn't figure it out. And so I do think that is the linchpin for this, maybe not the entire season, obviously, but like for this offense to be successful, I think it's pretty clearly they need to play at a much better level.
It almost kind of feels like, too, and speaking of Deion Burks, it feels like he's almost a transfer by some means. I mean, it feels like you really never saw him.
He played in like four games, yeah.
When he had that video come out, I was like, shit, here he goes.
I think we all did for a second.
I mean, but
those things are scary.
But that was like the first domino. Yeah. You know, it felt like at that moment, Oklahoma was at the lowest of low. That was some good news.
Yeah.
And then it was stacked with more good news. And then, like I said, we've got people projecting. It's crazy to me that Oklahoma is an SEC champion. John Mateer is a potential Heisman candidate. But that's kind of shows you how quick you can turn around a season.
I don't think either one of us is going to pick Oklahoma to win the SEC. And that's not to say we don't think, oh, you can have a really good year. I just think that us covering Oklahoma, and I would say the fan base especially, everyone's very cautious because of what happened last year. And there was just all this talk about Oklahoma, maybe they could be a surprise team last year. And Jackson Arnold is going to be this great quarterback. And
oh, I remember being in Dallas last year and everybody, you know, talk about Jackson Arnold. What's he going to be? And I think the words that everybody used was he's going to be the next great quarterback at Oklahoma. And coming off of the run that they had where it seemed like anybody that they put in there, whether it be Baker or Jalen, Kyler, everybody was good. Everybody found some type of success. And now it's kind of like, I think, a wait-and-see mode with everybody just because you don't know. And I think the first 3 years, there's a lot of PTSD with OU fans that there's nobody in Norman, to my knowledge, that doesn't want to see Brent succeed. And if they're not able to succeed this year and find those peaks that everybody's been looking for within the program, they're going to have some serious conversations. And I don't think anybody really wants to have that conversation.
It was just so bad last year, guys, that like
I've never been at a stadium like that South Carolina game where the game was literally over.
Yeah.
I mean, the game started at 11 o'clock. The game was over at 11:15.
Yeah. Some of the losses last year, you're just like, how did that happen?
Some dark conversations on the way home from Columbia.
Yeah.
Driving back to Kansas City is like, I don't know. Is he going to make it through the year?
Yeah.
I mean, there was people legitimately wondering that.
Last question I got for you, and I appreciate you taking your time, but other than Texas, remove Texas, which team can you not wait to whoop their ass?
Ooh, great question.
For Oklahoma, I mean,
the fans would probably be split down the middle on this, but there's something about Missouri.
It's Missouri. It's Missouri. It's Missouri.
There's something, and I don't know if it's a rivalry.
It's not a rivalry.
Going all the way back to the Big Eight days, OU usually handled Missouri pretty well, but I think there's something that, I don't know, just walking out of that stadium is like, yeah, they need to get them back this year.
Yeah, I think it's Missouri for sure. Missouri, I mean, and I think there's some different dynamics. I think Auburn's on that list with Jackson Arnold, and not that, you know, OU fans hate Jackson Arnold, but I think it's more of a, you know, we can't get embarrassed by Jackson Arnold. And then I would say the same, LSU, I think there's some there too, with Nick Anderson and Bauer Sharp both transferring there, two guys that are probably going to play a big role for them. I think that they're also in that conversation.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, I feel like we end every show that we've done this for the last 6 months, really, since the end of the season. It's like, it's going to be interesting. They got to find ways to win. And it's now that it's kind of here and you're getting to the end or the middle of July, it feels like this is a massive year for everybody involved. And I think that it's going to be kind of fun to see how it all goes. I don't know if it's always going to be fun, but it is going to be certainly interesting, I guess we should say.
And I was at that Mizzou game. It was the first three quarters, absolute shit show.
Oh, yeah,
it
was awful. Those are bad football teams. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, they were both bad. That last quarter, pure cinema. I mean,
I wish I could go back and find, like, it would take a while, but there can't be too many teams nationally that were up 7 with 2 minutes left and lost by 7 in regulation. That's kind of impressive.
I think obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it's not the worst loss in program history, you know, in terms of, like, losing big games and games that actually matter. But in terms of, like, how they lost that game, I think it is, like, one of the worst losses I've ever seen.
The only thing I could compare it to is 1998, the stumble and fumble when Arkansas fumbled the football and gave Tennessee a chance.
Sure.
Yeah, that is the only game I can compare it to.
It was unbelievable.
Like, there was just voodoo on that game. Yeah. It was crazy.
Hey, guys, last thing. So, all week, we're brought to you by MyBookie. They're our presenting sponsor. So, we're asking everybody that sits down for their MyBookie boldest take of the season. Could be Oklahoma related, could be SEC related, could be whatever you want. What's your bold take heading into the season?
I don't know if mine's bold, but I'm picking LSU to win the SEC this year.
Really?
I don't know if I think that they're going to be really good. I think they did some good stuff in the portal. I think Nussmeier is the best quarterback in the league. And I think that, you know, they could win the league at like 10-2, but I do think that they're going to win the league.
There will be a point this year that the internet is abuzz and people out of Austin are wondering if they should bench Arch.
Wow, how about that?
Let's book that one.
And saying that, no, they shouldn't, but I bet there's going to be some message board talk.
Oh, boy, I cannot wait for the mentions on y'all's podcast when you tweet that clip out.
Oh, I will. Let the Longhorn fans know how to follow you guys and where to check out Sooner Scoop.
It would be at Eddie_Ratto, SoonerScoop.com with the On3 Network. And, bring it on. We love it. They know. We're good friends with Jeff Ketchum, so he covers Oklahoma during the summer.
And mine's George Stoia, STOIA, same place, Soonerscoop.com. Subscribe, like,
it does
share.
Feel like the SEC is going to be kind of bizarro world this year, it feels like.
It feels open.
I think college football is.
Right.
I think college football is going to be, in some regard, wide open. I don't.
And maybe this is the way this it's going to be for perpetuity, just because of NIL and people are able to, kind of like in Oklahoma, that are able to recalibrate themselves. And it's going to be certainly interesting. Yeah, Tech is kind of that. Tech is like the Missouri / Old Miss of the Big 12 right now. And they might be the leader. They might have jumped ahead of them with all the money that they've spent.
It seems like every time you've talked to so many people in here, there's like four or five teams that, playoff teams.
Sure.
And then there's four or five teams that, if it goes right, is right there in the mix.
Sure.
And Oklahoma's right there in that little grouping.
Which I think helps Oklahoma fans sleep at night. But at the same time, it's the anticipation and the expectations in Norman certainly aren't going to change because they've had a couple bad years.
Yeah.
And that's what makes everything so interesting, because you can really kind of establish yourself, find a good season. All of a sudden, the narrative around Brent and what that 10-year is going to look like completely vanishes. And I think that, to a certain extent, maybe it helps them this year get to that point.
Yeah.
But I think everybody kind of wants that moment to look around and go, you know what? This is going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.